So what IFAB is doing to address this lab to line approach is that we are trying to invest in every step from innovation here at the University of Illinois and supporting the earliest stage companies at Research Park and in Enterprise Works, all the way up to manufacturing partners with ADM and Primient Indicator. And what's really exciting about our lab to line approach is that all of those resources are available in a 51-mile radius between the University of Illinois and Champaign-Urbana and those bioprocessing behemoths, Indicator, Illinois.
Welcome back to the Innovations at Research Park podcast. Tune into our show to hear insightful conversations on what innovations Research Park students, companies, and alumni are creating. My name is Tanmay Shah, and I'm joined by Beth Connerty. Beth helps lead business development for the Integrated Bioprocessing Research Lab at the University of Illinois. She's also the Regional Innovation Officer for the IFAB Tech Hub, an initiative created by the Biden administration to strengthen manufacturing innovation in the United States. I'm eager to talk about this research area of bioprocessing and how it can transform the Central Illinois economy. Beth, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So there's a ton to talk about, and I'm very excited to get into all of it, but I want to start first by getting a lay of the land and setting the stage with some terminology that I think would be important to know going into the rest of this conversation. So in doing my research for the episode, I was reading online and reading about what exactly is going on with IFAB and with IBRL, and a couple of terms came up a number of times. So maybe we can start there. And my first question is, what exactly is bioprocessing, biomanufacturing, and then precision fermentation? And how do they all kind of relate to each other with regards to from a scientific perspective?
Sure. That's a great way to set the stage and maybe come to a mutual understanding about terminology. So since bioprocessing, since I help run the Integrated Bioprocessing Research Lab, and bioprocessing is in our name, I have come up with what seems like a pretty standard definition of this. And very broadly, it is taking any type of plant material and turning it into any type of value-added compound. So basically, it's similar to processes that have been used for a long time, but it's using plants. It is using biological material to create high value end products and commodities. I think that biomanufacturing is pretty interchangeable with bioprocessing, but it is capitalizing on this idea that we can use biology and we can use biological materials that are grown right here in the United States to do manufacturing itself. And I think that biomanufacturing is a good term for it because so much manufacturing has been outsourced to other countries. And I don't think that there has been a winner yet, globally speaking, for doing biomanufacturing. And it is kind of a way to plant the flag and say that this is a way that the United States could really be integral to the global manufacturing conversation. Precision fermentation is what I would consider a subset or a specific technology within biomanufacturing. It is a way to actually do what I'm talking about, using biology to create high value end products and chemicals. Precision fermentation, broadly speaking, is a fermentation technology. And fermentation is something that humans have used for tens of thousands of years. Fermentation is how we get beer, how we get wine, how we get mead. It is feeding some type of sugar-based material, a carbon-based material to, for beverages, to yeast, and then it converts it to ethanol and the flavors that so many humans enjoy. If you're not an alcohol drinker, fermentation is also used in hot sauces and feta cheese and soy sauce and kombucha. So again, fermentation as an idea has been used by humans for a very long time. What has changed in this shift to precision fermentation is that biology and synthetic biology have gotten so good that we can tweak that middle step. So we're still feeding a grain or a sugar to a single-celled organism, and then that single-celled organism is acting as a little microfactory to convert that sugar and grain to a high-value end product or chemical. And now, instead of just looking at beverages, you know, we're talking about, again, most people are familiar with ethanol and fuel, so same technology, but now we can produce proteins for food, for cosmetics. We can do polymers and plastics. We can do agricultural inputs. We can do textiles. Just the list goes on and on and on. Again, because we've gotten so good at the biology part of this that we can tweak that single-celled microfactory.
That's very interesting. So from all those different use cases you just mentioned, which would you say have picked up steam the most in recent years?
So we saw some really early excitement around alternative protein, and it's also a pretty consumer recognizable way to use precision fermentation. I use Impossible Burgers as an example because, one, most people have heard about Impossible Burgers, and two, they are not an IBRL client, so I'm not bound by any confidentiality. This is all public knowledge. So Impossible Burgers, is their claim to fame is that it's a more meat-like tasting burger. And that is because they are using fermentation to produce hemoglobin, which is a protein that's normally found in blood, which would be found in a traditional meat-based burger. But you know, no animals used for the making of this hemoglobin. They're using fermentation technology instead to produce that and add it to their burgers to give it that flavor that is appealing to more consumers. So we saw a lot of early traction in those alternative proteins. And I think that considering alternative proteins as part of this conversation is important because the reality is that the global population is increasing. We have to find a way to feed that growing population, but we have to find a way to feed that growing population in a sustainable way. So I don't think, and I'm not advocating for an either or approach to traditional animal-based protein versus, alternative proteins produced through plant-based methods. I think it's a both and to make sure that the entire global population can receive the protein they need and eat healthily while also maintaining a reasonable impact on the climate and the planet.
Yeah, that was my next question is that since this is a plant-based manufacturing process for not just for growing food, but for these other areas you mentioned, whether it's polymers or textiles or cosmetics, what is the benefit to the impact to the environment in terms of, you know, carbon footprint, for example, in using these techniques versus more traditional ones?
So the facility I help run is a pilot plant, and I just want to be clear that certainly closed loop cycles are not optimized at the pilot scale. And we are helping companies get to manufacturing where they will hopefully improve their sustainability even further. That said, the reality of the U.S. agricultural system is that we produce a lot of corn and a lot of corn-based sugar. And historically, that corn-based sugar has gone into ethanol production enormously and high fructose corn syrup. And both of those markets are dropping in the United States. And this is a market that corn-based sugar can feed into almost immediately. I will say that, you know, maybe that's a first generation precision fermentation technology. And I think that there's a lot of potential to make these proteins and make these fermentation products even more sustainable, because there are companies out there that are starting to explore gas as a feedstock for their fermentations. So again, if you think about, you know, going back to feeding a carbohydrate, a sugar, a grain to a single celled organism, now the biology is shifting to feed carbon dioxide, to feed emissions, to feed gases to that single celled organism and produce the high value end products. So I think that there are ways to continue to improve the sustainability, but I think that we need to prove out precision fermentation and market adoption to be able to then take the next step towards sustainability. And again, I am very much of the mindset that if we are replacing a petroleum-based process with, you know, even the first generation of precision fermentation technology with corn sugar to materials, corn sugar to plastics, that is still absolutely moving the needle on sustainability. And again, it proves the technology and we're getting that much closer. Plus, if we can produce it domestically, there's less shipping involved. There's less global impact broadly.
Yep. Another term that I heard, that I saw rather in my research for this episode was something called lab to line. Can you share a bit more about what exactly that means? Because I think that it relates to the kind of supply chain, I think, that you were describing earlier and how we can, you know, keep the manufacturing within the US. Maybe that's my guess towards what this means.
Yeah. The tech hub, IFAB Tech Hub, is taking a lab to line approach. And what that means for us and for precision fermentation is that there are a number of steps that need to be taken. And I think that this is true for most technologies, but there are technology readiness levels. And as a technology develops, it increases in technology readiness level. And that's essentially how close it is to being viable at the commercial scale. And for precision fermentation, you know, I talked about the biology. There might be a great innovation in a traditional research lab where they create a strain that produces this novel material that's just absolutely game-changing. But they still have to grow that organism. They still have to grow that single-cell microfactory in larger and larger vessels to prove that out. So a typical process for a company would be to develop that at the lab. Then a lot of times they're coming to us at IBRL to prove it out to maybe 1,000 liters. Then they need to go to demonstration scale, which is maybe in the 25 to 100,000 liters. And then finally, they're reaching manufacturing. And if you're considering manufacturing from, you know, IFAB's perspective, that is ADM scale manufacturing technologies. And we had the benefit of touring the ADM facility indicator in December, and those are 500,000 liter vessels. So again, the biggest I help run at IBRL is 1500 liter, and then full blown manufacturing is hundreds of thousands of liters. So what IFAB is doing to address this lab to line approach is that we are trying to invest in every step. From innovation here at the University of Illinois and supporting the earliest stage companies at Research Park and in Enterprise Works, all the way up to manufacturing partners with ADM and Primient Indicator. And what's really exciting about our lab to line approach is that all of those resources are available in a 51-mile radius between the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana and those bioprocessing behemoths, Indicator, Illinois. And that's all, it's all right here. You don't have to go very far.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely exciting. And I think that is the part of the value prop here. And I do want to get into that, a bit later on, but, when we talk about this idea of scaling precision fermentation, right, which, as you mentioned, in a pilot research lab in a university, it's obviously a different scale than you might have for an industry leader, example, ADM. But, of course, there's still important research going on in the IBRL and research that would catalyze a lot of this, you know, movement within the industry. And so I want to ask you, you know, what kind of work is top of mind for you in 2024 within IBRL? And what are some of the core objectives that you see maybe in like the next 2 to 3 years that you would like to accomplish through the research lab?
Yeah. So I talked a little bit earlier about this beachhead market, maybe we'll call it, with the alternative proteins. And we have been fortunate to have many alt protein companies through IBRL. But I think that something that is interesting to us, top of mind, and maybe a goal, is to expand the types of companies that we are supporting in IBRL. I listed a whole range of different products and industries that precision fermentation can impact. And we want to help all of those industries. We really view precision fermentation as a platform enabling technology. And we want to, prove ourselves or start getting some companies in that are working in spaces that are not just food related. We are having some really interesting conversations with companies who are using fermentation to produce agricultural inputs, so pesticides, fertilizers, herbicides, through fermentation instead of chemical processes. And being in central Illinois and with the robust ag tech ecosystem we have in Champaign-Urbana, that would be a really exciting crossover for us. But also we're interested in some of the materials and, how we can get better than petroleum, end products using very sophisticated, synthetic biology. One other thing that we are very excited about in 2024 is that at the end of last year, we actually installed a system to be able to emulate gas-fed fermentations in IBRL. We can do CO2-fed fermentations in our facility up to 300 liters. And from what I have seen, and maybe I'm wrong, and I hope somebody reaches out to correct me, but from what I've seen, we are the only pilot-scale facility that can do gas-fed fermentations. So if you're looking to, again, move the needle on sustainability for precision fermentation and you need to prove your technology at a few hundred liters, we are very excited that we are now able to do that. And we're hoping that we attract some more of those companies as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think having these continued partnerships for IBRL will help not only the lab meet its objectives, but also these companies and these startup ventures to prove out that whatever it is they're trying to do can actually succeed. And so I think that's a great kind of like symbiotic partnership there. And so coming to IFAB then, we just discussed IBRL, which again stands for the Integrated Bioprocessing Research Lab. Coming to IFAB, as I mentioned in the introduction, this was actually part of an initiative from the Biden administration back last year, I believe late last year, where they announced 31 such regional tech hubs to help spur innovation and manufacturing and create obviously good paying jobs as well. And so out of these 31 hubs, IFAB was selected to be one of them. And it's right here in central Illinois, which is very exciting. And so, you know, given that kind of context on why it was created, or rather who helped create it, what is the overall mission of IFAB? And then what sorts of projects are happening right now, and what is the overlap with IBRL?
So IFAB's mission is to become the global leader in biomanufacturing and precision fermentation over the next decade. And that was kind of the parameters that were set out by the EDA for this opportunity. Being designated as a tech hub, I believe, is the EDA's kind of stamp of approval, saying they see our vision, they see our mission, and they agree that we have the capacity to become that global leader. So that's really our mission. Being designated as a tech hub did give us the opportunity to, it kind of opened the door for us to submit for implementation funding. So the EDA is going to fund several of these tech hubs across the country to stimulate or expedite their quest to become global leaders in their core technology area. So we did submit 7 projects as part of that to stimulate this growth and this opportunity. And we have projects that address all of that lab to line topic that we discussed just a bit ago. So it is dealing with infrastructure. It is actually, you know, putting stainless steel in the ground so that we have more fermentation tanks so that we can help more companies. But it's also addressing entrepreneurial programming. So how can we foster an environment, you know, again, Enterprise Works, the Research Park does such a good job of supporting entrepreneurs in this space. But how can we tailor that more to bioprocessing and precision fermentation companies? How can we attract more? How can we, you know, inspire the student body at the University of Illinois to focus more on bioprocessing and precision fermentation? And we're also doing a lot around workforce development. We have some really great workforce development partners and consortium members. But based on some of the Biden-Harris administration reports that have come out, there are going to be 1 million more jobs in biomanufacturing over the next several years, not very many years, less than a decade. And so we need to train more workforce. Right now, IBRL has a really great student internship program. We try to host short courses for industry who need to upskill. But that's only one type of workforce that we're training. So as part of IFAB, our workforce development project is led by Parkland College, but in close collaboration with Richland Community College in Decatur. We have 4 labor unions as part of that, as well as the workforce development boards in both communities and the Illinois Agri-Food Alliance. The very, very exciting thing about IFAB is that it will create jobs kind of in all different sectors. If we're constructing that many facilities, you know, we need trades, we need construction employees, we need a lot of plumbers and pipe fitters, we need a lot of electricians. We also need synthetic biologists, we need plant operators. We need, you know, that's going to grow to a lot of the supporting type roles as well. But we need employees all across this industry to be trained. And so that's an effort that's going on now and will certainly grow in scale and capacity with EDA funds.
Yeah. And you mentioned a while ago about student body involvement as well. And so obviously some of the fields you mentioned there, you know, students can earn degrees in those areas and be well equipped to work in that in this industry. But overall, you know, what would you say is if I'm a student right now, whether it's undergrad or graduate, who is interested in this space at all, right? And it sounds even slightly appealing. What are some action items or some steps that I can take now as a student to be prepared for this revolution, as you said, that's coming in just the next few years? So, you know, as an early grad, I can be as prepared as possible to just jump in and make an impact.
Yeah, I'm going to be super biased in my response here and say apply to work in IBRL or our food science pilot plant. We have a great internship program, and we currently have an intern. Our interns are somewhere between 30 and 40 students at any one time. These are paid internships, and they are very hands-on. This is not students just watching our staff run projects. They are in there. They're operating equipment. They're cleaning equipment. They're prepping for next week's run. And this is resulting in those students having excellent jobs when they graduate, because they're forming relationships with our industry clients. They're running projects for our industry clients. And so, to be totally blunt, in a lot of situations, they know more about the process when they graduate than our clients do, because they have been running it so frequently. And so that's a really valuable hire for our industry clients. So that's my super biased approach about this. There are increasingly numbers of classes that are available. So if you want to take just the more traditional academic approach to this, There's a master's program both in bioprocessing and bioenergy, as well as in synthetic biology for food innovation. So there are starting to be actual degree programs. I think that if you're an undergraduate student, we're still mostly pulling from chemical engineering, ag and biological engineering, food science, human nutrition. But again, I mentioned that this is a whole economy that's growing, right? And so there are going to need to be business majors involved in that. We have certainly hired chemists and microbiologists. There are going to need to be HR as these companies grow too. Oh, something that startup companies definitely need. Lots of supply chain management. So really across the board. But there are classes. There are currently classes in Chibi. They're in chemical and biological engineering. There are classes in food science, human nutrition that directly relate to this. And I'm happy to point students in that direction. I'm happy to point out classes that have been really valuable. I do help advise those students in bioprocessing and bioenergy, as well as synthetic biology for food innovation. So I've done a lot of gearing students toward courses. But again, if you want the most bang for your buck, get paid to do it and come work in IBRL.
Yeah, that sounds like a great opportunity. What are some of the, if you're allowed to talk about this, what are some of the industry clients you mentioned that have partnered with IBRL thus far?
You're correct that there are some that I can't talk about. We do value our clients' confidentiality very strongly because it's what's given us a good reputation and more companies will come work with us. I can talk about a few that are exciting. I can't get into detail still about what we did for those companies, but I can talk kind of from a high level about what they do and that we partnered with them. So maybe starting early in IBRL's existence, one of the clients that we can talk about is a company called Geltor. They were an early win and an early client of ours, and we had an excellent experience. They do protein for cosmetic applications. And honestly, I think it's how we sort of got into the alt protein game. They were pleased with our work and they talked about us to, you know, their peers. They're based out of the Bay Area in California. And so then they also, you know, their employees went elsewhere or they hired people in and word of mouth got out a little bit. So that was an exciting, a client of ours. We have certainly done work in the alt protein for food applications also. Motif Foodworks has been a client of ours for a long time, and they do meat alternative proteins, food proteins. But then we've done a lot of other work as well. There's a company called Hyphae Foods that has talked openly about collaborating with us. They're trying to use wastewater or waste streams as their feedstock for fermentations. Again, trying to improve the sustainability, the full life cycle analysis of a precision fermentation technology. There's a company called Equi Foods that has been a client of ours. They do high protein bread. I've eaten it. It's delicious. It's great. And then a client that I'd like to highlight that I think you've spoken to before is Boston Bioprocess. And we have a really great relationship with them. I'd say that we were part of their consideration in relocating from Boston to Champaign-Urbana. And so that's another client that we talk about very openly and share clients with. Then, you know, we can also talk about how our advisory board consists of, you know, ADM and Primient and Ingredion and DSM, IFF. So all of the acronyms in the agricultural and biomanufacturing space are certainly engaged with us, know about what we're doing, and often do projects with us as well.
Yeah, I mean, just hearing the sample that you said there of the industry clients, it sounds like there's so much activity happening in this space that it's ripe for young people to get involved with. And so I really hope that people listening do kind of, if it sparks your interest, you know, take action on that and see if this is the space for you. I do want to talk about the interesting stat you mentioned about the 51-mile radius. And I actually found a quote from Chancellor Jones saying that here in Central Illinois, we have all the components we need to build a state-of-the-art or world-leading biomanufacturing economy, all within a 51-mile radius. And so if you can, you know, kind of zoom in a bit on that, why exactly is Central Illinois, why is this region such a good, if not the best place to be in this industry?
It's absolutely the best place to be in this industry. And I think we just have a unique set of resources here. Again, we have a top engineering and a top ag school in the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign campus. And that's really important to drive innovation in this space. Then we have a lot of some of the best farmland in the country, right here around us. And then turning that agricultural material into high value products. That is something that ADM and Primient have been doing for well over 100 years in Decatur, Illinois. And so that community is set up to do bioprocessing and biomanufacturing as it stands. So we can capitalize on what's already here to capture the growing industry. There are some really interesting statistics about Decatur, Illinois that people probably don't know. There are about 850,000 bushels of corn that get processed in Decatur every single day. So again, if you're looking at this, that you need corn sugar as the feedstock for precision fermentation, why would you transport it anywhere else? There you can just, you know, send it over the fence and be ready to go. There's soy glycerol. Soy-based glycerol is also a feedstock for a lot of precision fermentation, and that's also produced right there in Decatur. Decatur is the only place in the state, one of very few locations where all Class 1 rail systems converge. That sounds maybe super boring if we're talking to students on this podcast. But what's exciting about that is that you need to be able to ship your products out. So if you're manufacturing, you need to be able to get them to the consumer. And so if all of the rail transportation is right there, they have access to waterways. It's this whole hub called the Midwest Inland Port that makes it one of the best transportation and shipping locations in the entire country. So all of this already exists, and now we are being able to think about innovation and grow the precision fermentation area. So we can just continue to capitalize and grow on the resources that are already here. It makes lead times a lot shorter, and it also makes costs a lot lower. So if you're trying to build out a brand new, you know, manufacturing facility for your great new protein product, why wouldn't you pick the place that already has the infrastructure, that already has the utilities in place, rather than spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to recreate it somewhere else?
Yeah, I think that's the perfect formula, right? There's the farmland, there's the and also the industry leaders you mentioned earlier, right? ADM is just down the road in Decatur. I believe Primient is another industry leader, and they're also in Decatur. So I think it's the perfect fusion of all the different factors you would need to make this a successful successful place to work on this innovation. So I think that going forward, it will be exciting to see how all the funding that's coming in and how the excitement that's been built, both from the kind of boots on the ground perspective, as well as more from a business and kind of just awareness perspective, see how all of that exponentially rises as we go forward. And so I want to end the conversation with just maybe a final question on a more personal note, and just ask you, you know, what excites you so much about this space? I believe this is where you've spent a good portion of your career, and you have a PhD in this area as well. And so, you know, what excites you to keep working on this day in, day out?
You're right. I have been working on this for a while, and I did my graduate work in metabolic engineering. So I was talking about how good that biology has gotten. I was spending a lot of time on that, and I think it holds a lot of potential. But for me in my career, I have always wanted to see the actual real world applications of the technologies that I'm working on. And fundamental research is very important and I support it wholeheartedly and it needs to continue. It's just not where my particular passion lies. I like to work at that edge of science and, you know, commercial application. And this just seems like an area that makes so much sense for that. It's ready to go. And, you know, maybe when I was in graduate school, it wasn't quite there yet. We were still working on some fundamental science technologies for it. And if you talk to Primient in Decatur, you know, they tried to get into the precision fermentation space, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, and the market just wasn't quite ready for it. But I think that now is the time. There has been a lot of momentum. There has been a lot of excitement. And the fact that the Biden-Harris administration is putting money behind it and talking about it, I think reiterates that. And so I guess I'm kind of excited that it seems like all of these areas of my career are kind of converging at the same time. And to be honest, I love being in Central Illinois. I love being part of the University of Illinois community, and I don't ever want to leave. So if we can bring all of this excitement and enthusiasm here, it's a great way to continue to grow and keep everything here in Central Illinois.
Yep. Definitely. Well, I think this has been a fantastic conversation, and I hope that the listeners kind of went along on this journey of understanding what exactly this space is about and what all the what all the news has been about in recent months. And you know, is there anything else that you want to mention before we kind of wrap up at the episode?
I think I just want to mention that some of the funding involved in IFAB and how we are approaching that. We are requesting money from the federal government as part of this Tech Hub program, and we are requesting $70 million. That $70 million is seed money. That's not enough to build an entire economy and an entire industry. And so we have been very fortunate to have, you know, our 31 consortium partners come to the table in a very meaningful way. There's been a lot of news and a lot of publicity because this number is impressive. You know, it said that we're contributing $680 million to this tech hub as well. And, you know, that's because we have such great partnerships with industry leaders. And so that is certainly not one consortium member. That is not one entity. That's not one government coming to the table, you know, with a check for $680 million. That is really all 31 consortium members realizing how important this is and contributing in a variety of ways. And obviously having very large industry as part of this consortium certainly helps with finding resources, I will say. The state of Illinois was also helpful and came up with match money for us and is going to help with IBRL's expansion project. But it's really all partners coming to the table and jointly deciding that biomanufacturing and precision fermentation is important. It's the correct time to do it, and they should invest in Central Illinois.
Absolutely. Well, great, Beth. Thank you so much for joining me. For the folks listening, if you like this conversation, we have a ton more like this. You can check out our website at researchpark.illinois.edu/podcast for the entire catalog. We release episodes every month, so be on the lookout on your favorite listening platform for the next one coming out next month. But in the meantime, take care, and we'll see you soon.